Psalm 67. For the director of music with stringed instrument, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Friends, would you pray with me? Jesus, we want to pause and say thank you for your word. We want to pause because two times in this psalm, it's going to ask that we would pause, Selah, to breathe or to consider what is being set before us. And so we're asking that you would help us to pause in your word, to consider what it is that you want to say to us today. In that, in hearing it, that we're giving you permission this morning, Holy Spirit, to then apply your word to our life so that we live different. And that when we go from this place today, we would be different than the way that we came because we have experienced you, the living God, who gives to us your living word so that we may live our lives for the glory of your person. May it be so. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I want you to know that this is the last week that we are in Psalms. And I just want to thank you for taking this journey with me. This has been a delightful journey in the Psalms. So thank you for that. We'll be kicking off Proverbs next week. We'll be in Proverbs for 4 weeks from next week and then the following 3 weeks after that. That's going to be a delightful series as well. But let's enjoy this one. We end with Psalm 67. And maybe by this time you anticipate me saying something about the prescript, and it's helpful for us again. And so it says, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. I learned this week that this, what is translated for the director of music, is in the Hebrew, the way that that would read is for the shiny ones, or it would be a word that communicates a brightness. And so this was, the leader would have been referred to one as one who's shining forth for the people that which the Lord is desirous to do or to work or to bring about. And so that's kind of neat, right? So when we read this, this is for the shiny ones before the Lord, or the bright ones for the Lord. And so as we lead our lives, don't we want to lead our lives with a brightness or a radiance, which is, by the way the Greek translates glory, is doxa, is radiance. And so to be for the radiant ones, yes. With stringed instruments. Stop. With stringed instruments. You know how a stringed instrument makes noise? Vibrates, right? Thanks. You're A plus, yeah. And sometimes you pluck a string in order to make it vibrate. Sometimes you will, like with a violin or cello, you rub it, and so then that creates a vibration. So there are various ways to create a vibration of a stringed instrument, but there's also something that generally applies to the playing of a stringed instrument, is the strings are pulled tightly, right? So then that vibration and the tightness then dictates the way in which it vibrates and therefore the sound it makes. So here, one of the implications of this bright one leading with stringed instrument is that the strings are pulled tightly in order to make their sounds. It is a psalm, it is a mizmor, which means that it is a consideration of the song that's being sang. So these bright ones who are leading with these strings that are pulled tight were considering the song that they are playing. Boy, there's quite a bit there, more than we thought. As we move into this, I'd like to shape this by letting you know that what we are considering is the song, but the song is being played by the strings that have been pulled tightly. And so one of the things that we're considering is what has been pulled tightly in order to make this harmony happen. Are you with me? What is being pulled tightly that's creating this harmony? We get to the first verse. May God grant us grace. May God bless us, and may he make his face to shine upon us. Now, this is very similar to what we just spoke over our children. And we bless them as a way to release them because we're reminding ourselves that this is the way that we place God's name on God's people. That's what it says in Numbers 6. He says to Aaron, say this blessing to the people because it's the way that I'm putting my name on them. Right? And so we speak that to our children, that as they go, that we're putting God's name on them. It's why we close our service with a benediction or a blessing, is that as you go, we're putting God's name on you. One of the things that we can note that's different about number 6 and Psalm 67 is the order of the words. Just to refresh us, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. Is that the order here? It's may you be gracious, then experience blessing, then have his face shine upon us. And so that's just something to be aware of here. But one of the things that that helps us is what's put in the center. And what's put in the center here is the blessing. And so you have, it begins with grace, and out of God's grace, he blesses us. And as he blesses us, we experience the favor of his face, right? His blessing, his grace communicates blessing, and that blessing is a reflection of his favor or of his face upon us, right? So we're looking at this text, we're seeing this order, and what is in the middle of is blessing. I would contend that what is being pulled tightly in this psalm is the continuity or the harmony of God's blessing for all time. So past, present, and future. He's pulling tightly that we are a people who are to be a blessing. And as we are a blessing, that's going to transform the world. So let's spend a few minutes then trying to pull these strings tightly. My hope is that I can convince you that the tight blessing of our lives is what people see. It's what they see in the brightness or in the shininess, if I can use those terms, of how we live. You remember Abraham's calling. Abraham was called by the Lord, and he makes a couple of promises to him. You remember what they are? He promises that he'll make him a great nation, right? That he's going to give him a people. He also promises him that he's going to give him a land. And so we call that a promised land. Or to use a simpler term, he's going to give him a place. So he's going to give him, and please note my alliteration here. I don't use these often. I have a mixed bag feeling for them. But he promises him a people. He promises him a place, two P's. Let's see if I can get a third. And he says, I'm going to bless you so that you will then bless the whole world. Or I'm going to bless the whole world through you. Here's my third P. He's going to give him a purpose. And that purpose is to be a blessing. I could quit now. I gave you guys an alliteration. Yes. So he gives them a people, he gives them a place, and he gives them a purpose. And that purpose is to be a blessing. So right there from Abraham, he says it's not the starting point, but it's a starting point for us to talk about this string that's being pulled tightly. And you say, well, we can't start with Abraham. What about Adam? Well, in Adam says, or God says to Adam, you're going to be a blessing to the world in which I put you in. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And we get down the road, we get to Abraham. And if we look at the patriarchs, we have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're going to see Isaac show up here in a unique way. There's a word in the text, and it's the same word that is used for Isaac's servant who finds Isaac's wife. It says that the Lord led me there. And our text is going to use this word, lead. Nations are being led on a path that those who will be met at the end of that path will experience the Lord's blessing. And so the servant of Isaac uses this word in reference to how God has led him to this point where he's going to meet Rebekah, who is the blessing that God is providing for Isaac. And so he says about the Lord, you've led me to this place that you intended blessing to happen. And so that shows up in our text. So sometimes in our life, God is leading us to a place that in that place, he intends blessing to happen. Boy, what if we approached every day just like that? God, you are leading me to a place today that you intend to bless. And in that place, not only will you bless me, but you'll bless those around me. That's cool, man. That's great news. Get up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what you're going to do today, but I know that when I get to the end of it, you have intended from the very outset of the journey that you're going to bring me to a place that you intend to bless, and you're going to use me to bless those around me. What a great way to get out of bed, right? I don't know what the Hebrew word is. I'm not that smart. But what if you just got up out of bed and say, God, lead on today. Because I know where you lead, blessing will be. Right? It'll be there when you bring me to that place. And so we're seeing this string pulled tightly, or with a guitar tightened at the top, turned in order to make it tight. Abraham, I'm giving you a purpose, and that purpose is blessing. And I'm going to work that blessing not only in you, but I'm going to work it through you for generations to come. So the people that are associated in your name would be a blessing to the whole world. And then we come to, you have Abraham and Isaac, and we come to Jacob. And Jacob, he receives a blessing. He receives it in by being deceptive with his mom's help. But there's something fascinating that happens with the blessing, right? Jacob essentially steals the blessing. He fools his father. And his father blesses him, and Jacob runs because he stole something so precious that he runs for his life. I mean, understand this. The blessing of the father was so precious that he goes, I got to get out of here before my brother finds out, because when he does, he will surely kill me. You go, come on. Can a blessing really mean that? Listen to Esau. He comes back. He cooks the food that his father has said to prepare, that his father has eaten the deceptive food that his mother cooked and the deceptive hair that his father felt on his skin. Esau, who rightfully cooked the food and was already a hairy man, comes in before his father, draws close to him, and says, Father, bless me. He says, oh no, I've already given all of my blessing to the one who has deceived me. Listen to Esau's cry. He says to his father, isn't there anything left? Just a little bit more blessing. There's something, I don't know that I really quite understand it, but there was something so essential in blessing that it was life-giving. So much so that Esau felt that his life was lost because he didn't receive the blessing. Jacob received life by stealing the blessing. And God would do a redemptive work in Jacob's life. Esau would have been the rightful heir. God taught Jacob a lesson. We see that Jacob's going to meet back up with Esau. And right before that event, his life is still on the line. If I'm going to meet Esau, surely he will kill me. That night, Jacob wrestles with an angel, maybe even God himself. And as they wrestled, the night wore on and it came to morning. Jacob would not let this wrestling partner go until what? Until you bless me. It's interesting, this wrestling partner leaves him with a limp, but he does indeed bless him. And what's interesting about the text is that the blessing for Jacob was that he would no longer have to steal blessing, but that he could rely on the God who said he would give it. He gives blessing. And so no longer would Jacob have to go and clutch things for himself, but what that wrestling lesson taught him is that he latches on to the right wrestling partner and the only one who can really bless him. We're seeing these strings that are pulled tightly, and I hope that if you're musically inclined, that you can hear a melody or a harmony that is developing through the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and on down the line it goes. And maybe even you can hear in your life a harmony that God is making in blessing you. It doesn't stop there. Verses 3 and 5 are repetitive verses. They are exactly the same. And in this way, they create a framework. So it says it here, and it says it here. And what that frame often does is it highlights what's in the middle. And in the middle, it's saying, pay attention, right here. I framed this. I've seen that before. There it is again. And so it's to say, pay attention to what is right here in the middle. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then verse 5, may all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Here we have this declaration that as this harmony is being played, because the string of blessing is being pulled tightly in the people of God, that the nations can't help but sing a song of praise for the song that's being sung. So as we pull these strings tightly, and as the harmony of blessing is being played, that the nations are carried into praise. They are carried into this song. And then what's in the middle? May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. One of the ways that this blessing works itself, that's the wrong language. One of the ways that this blessing doesn't work itself out, but one of the ways that this blessing is carried out is that it demonstrates the righteousness of God. So to act justly or to rule justly is a communication of righteousness. I like Bruce Waltke's definition of righteousness. It's the giving up of one's own rights for the benefit of another. It's pretty good. It's what righteous, that's how he defines righteousness. The giving up of one's own rights for the benefit of another. And so this one who rules righteously, justly, gives up his rights in order for the benefit of others. Well, if we tighten these strings and we look into the New Testament, we see God himself give up his rights. Paul would talk about this in Philippians. He who was God gave up his rights as God and became a man, and in becoming a man made himself a servant, and as a servant died for the benefit of those that should have died so that they might live in his name. And it is this one who gave up his rights for the benefit of another, you and me. Stringing along this harmony of blessing, this one who has blessed us by giving us life when we deserved death, we get to join in the song that is being played because we know that we have received this blessing of the strings being pulled tightly. And so we sing. And friends, may I communicate that? Maybe that's both sing and dance and rejoice and praise the Lord and tell a friend and grab somebody and tell them you love them. And man, it just includes all of the notion of blessing to say, this harmony of blessing has changed the trajectory of my life. And it has. And so here in the focus point is to say that this, the nations will sing and be glad for this one rules righteously. He has given up his rights for the benefit of others. And he is guiding all nations on the earth. He's guiding us to the place of which he has established blessing. And so the Lord is directing the nations, the Lord is directing the earth to join the worshiping community. Well, why are they being encouraged to join the worshiping community? Because it's the worshiping community through which God has tightened the strings so that the harmony of blessing can be played. So that as the body of Christ, the thing that we are to demonstrate to the world in which we live is that God has blessed us, and through his body, he's blessing the whole world. We see this actually take place in Acts. So here we get really churchy, right? We're not just in the Old Testament. We're not talking about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we move on down the centuries. And by the way, did you notice in our text this morning that when they bring back the Ark of the Covenant, that they put it in the place where David had pitched the tent, and David, he's wearing a linen ephod. He is operating as priest. And do you know what he does as priest? You remember what it said? He says that he blessed them. Yeah, that's what we do. So we got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we have the not just the patriarchs, but now the kingly line, that they are to be a blessing as well. And then the ultimate king comes in Jesus. And Jesus is blessing. He's blessed us. He's demonstrated his righteousness. He gave up his rights for the benefit of another. He's blessed us. This is, by the way, Paul to the Ephesians in our other text says that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with some of the blessings. No, says that he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing imaginable. So now we got to get to the church, right? So we patriarchs and kings and Jesus. We're like, well, we're a part of the church. What does that mean? In Acts 10, do you remember Acts 10? Peter is sleeping upstairs, and he has a vision. It's kind of a strange vision, this vision of animals, and these are animals that he's seeing that are not in that time. They would not have been considered clean. God says, get up, kill, and eat. Peter goes, I've never done this. I've never even considered doing this. God, why would you ask me to do this? God says, what I have made clean, eat. So now he has this image. Some guys show up at the door. They knock on the door and say, hey, we've been instructed by the Lord to come here and ask for a guy. Going, what's fascinating about this is a Jew could, or let's see here, I don't want to get this backwards. A Gentile could enter a Jew's house, a Jew could not enter a Gentile's house. So listen to what happens. We've come from Cornelius's house, we've come here, which would have been perfectly appropriate. We've come here to experience blessing. That God is still in the business of tightening the strings and demonstrating his blessing to the world. Peter, would you come with us and bring that blessing in a place that was otherwise thought not to belong? Peter says, God has shown me that I shouldn't call anything unclean that he's made clean. I'm going. So they take this journey back. You can imagine Peter never having done this. This is not what you're supposed to do. It could go the other way, but not this way. Peter comes into the house, Cornelius's house, and something amazing happens. One of the things that we see in Acts is that God sends his spirit and it lands on people and the people are transformed. People are coming to Jesus and they're amazed. And this is happening over and over again. Now he comes into a Gentile's house, not supposed to be that way. He comes into the house. They hear the testimony of what the Lord has done in Cornelius and his household. Peter prays for them, and God does something. Do you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes on Cornelius and his house just like it had done to the Jews at the festival in Acts 2. Peter, here's some modern day language for you, mind blown. Has entered a Gentile's house, and God does the same thing, blessing the Gentile, the outsider, as he did with the insider. Friends, God intends to lead us to a place where he blesses us. That's true. But if we stop there, then we've missed the point. Is that God intends to lead us to a place where he blesses us, but that blessing may surprise us where it happens at. It may happen at a place where we otherwise thought God's blessing couldn't be. And that's exactly what happens in Cornelius' house. Peter's called into the leaders of the day. He's got to account for his actions. And so they say, Peter, what are you doing entering a Gentile's house? He goes, guys, you won't believe this. God led me to a place of blessing that we thought God doesn't bless there. You know what happened? I prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit in the same way that we did. It was the most amazing thing. The God who led us to the place of blessing ourselves continues to lead us to a place of blessing that maybe even surprises us that God can bless there. Here it is, friends. Do you see the tightening of the string? And this is for us. The tightening of the string is that we do not simply get into a place where God can bless us and say, woo, I'm blessed. God intends to stretch our lives, to tighten our lives to the blessing of himself so that the harmony that is being played resounds in the blessing of who he is. And sometimes that stretches us into a place that we otherwise may have thought, God doesn't bless there, does he? The psalm might say, maybe. So I close with this question. What are the areas of your life that maybe you have to do? Maybe it's work. Maybe you have a miserable job. I'm not asking you to confess to that, but maybe you go, man, there is no way that God is blessing my workplace. These people are mad. They are crazy. I don't even enjoy being around them. If I didn't get a paycheck and a good one, I wouldn't go to this job. Maybe we go say, God, I'm going to work today, and there is no way that you bless at work. But I know that you have stretched out my life, and you're leading me to a place of blessing, but you're leading me there so that you can demonstrate your blessing to those that are around me. So I'm going to work anyways today, unless you lead elsewhere. May you make the harmony of blessing resound today. Tighten the string. Don't be a flimsy string, friends. Let God tighten you up. Man, maybe, marriage is tough. It is. Maybe, Man, you're looking for ways to not be around your spouse. You're going, man, they're outside their mind crazy, and don't they know I'm right? And so whenever you're in each other's presence, you're seeking to prove how right you are. See, maybe is God intended to tighten you up in that place so that what happens there is that you give up your rights in order to be a blessing to those who are around you. Maybe you got a strained relationship in your family. Man, you go to a family reunion and you go, man, you know who's going to be there? That person that I don't like. Maybe God's going to tighten you up so that where he leads you to that place, that he leads you there, not only bless you there, but to use you as a blessing. Man, you can apply this to all areas of your life. You get up in the morning, say, God, you're going to lead me someplace today that you intend to usher your blessing in, and you intend that blessing not to be just for me, that you intend to bless me to bless those around me. That's when the string gets tight. And if we are not living as a blessing to those around us, I think that the string gets pretty flimsy. And so when the psalm, a mizmor, it's a consideration. What we are considering is how God is tightening the string of his blessing in our life. That's what I would encourage you to do this week. How's God tightening the string of his blessing in my life so I'll be a blessing to others? Maybe you just pray, God, tighten my string so that where I go, I'm a blessing to those around me. Tighten the string. Tighten the string. Tighten the string. May it be so, friends. Jesus, I thank you for this group. Lord, I'd like to say thank you because this group, this people, they've tightened the string toward me and our family. I'm thankful for that. They've been a blessing, and they continue to be that to our family. I thank you for that. But Lord, I pray that we would not be content. Lord, tighten our string. Tighten the string of your blessing that we might be a blessing to those around us. We want this and we need this because we really do believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the conduit through which you are blessing the whole world. May we not have any less of a view. And so, Lord, our church, that we would be a blessing to those that are around us. Lord, that we as people, that we as families, would be a blessing to those that are around us. Tighten the string, Lord Jesus. Tighten the string. And Jesus, I pray that we would be quick to confess our need of you in it. Lord, as I was increasingly excited about the message, is then having an experience where, Lord, I wasn't the blessing that you had called me to be, and saying, oh, Lord, I blew it there. And so, Lord, I thank you that you don't write us off as lost causes, but that you reveal it to us so that we can confess it, that you bring healing, and then we lean in again. We say, God, you're leading me to a place today where I can be a blessing, and that through my life is that you can bless those that are around me. Lord, may it be so. Tighten the string. In Jesus' name, amen.